Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. But hold your calls, please. We have with us this evening Warren Smith. And we're going to be talking about his book, Reinventing Jesus Christ, the New Gospel. I got a call this afternoon from Dean Gocher. We've known Dean for some time. And he's a very courageous young man who travels across the country like a itinerant evangelist, trying to awaken people up to what's going on, the changes in the church, certainly the church growth movement, how they're using consensus to convince audiences that this is the way to go. But this afternoon he was telling me that Jerry Falwell is trying to unite 5,000 Baptist churches behind the work of Rick Warren and Hybel. And, of course, this whole idea of the church growth movement. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get all 5,000 Baptist churches behind the church growth movement? Well, of course, there are some problems with the church growth movement. And, of course, unfortunately, I think many, many good people do not understand what's really happening to Christianity today. Well, with us, of course, is Warren Smith. Warren, of course, started out on the other side. He started out as a member of the New Age, and so on. I'm going to let him tell you his story. And then, of course, we're going to get into his book, Reinventing Jesus Christ, the New Gospel, which you'll want to get a copy of, and it's available through our ministry, giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. It's a very important book because it has all the documentation in it that you need to show to others, to point out that you will hear the New Agers, these people who have embraced the dark side, talking about the same New World Order that our leaders are talking about, that our President Bush talked about in 1970. In fact, it was on September, 1990. It was September 11th, 1990, when George Herbert Walker Bush talked about the coming New World Order. And then, of course, we find that the people in power today are embracing this idea of a new international order. And that's, of course, what the people in the Project for the New American Century talk about, the new international order. Of course, it really doesn't matter whether you call it the new order, as Adolf Hitler did, or the new world order, or the new international order. It is all, of course, this long prophesied unification of the world, the New World Order, the New World Religion. Warren, tell us how you got started and, of course, how it was that you left the New Age and became a Christian.
Well, I came out to San Francisco in 1970 when I got out of the Army. And like many in that period of time, I was kind of lost, trying to find myself. And San Francisco seemed to be the beacon that we all kind of gravitated towards. And it started off with pop psychology and moved into studying sort of Eastern stuff. But I think really the main experience that I had, and it was an experience, and I think many of us that got involved in the New Age got into it through experiences rather than through any kind of knowledge. Most of us were pretty much ignorant of the Bible's teachings. Many of us had been brought up in a very lukewarm Christian church where the real gospel wasn't presented. It was just kind of more of a mainline, I think it was a Congregational Methodist type background. And what happened was I met a waitress in the little town of Chico, California, where I was living, and she was very interested in metaphysical New Age things, and she said that a friend of hers who was a psychic was coming to town, and would I consider having a reading? And I really wasn't even that thrilled about seeing a psychic, but I was interested in making an impression with her, so I went ahead and did it. And I was amazed when the psychic told me a lot of things about myself that she had no way of knowing. I mean, it was not chance, it was not manipulation, as many people have said about psychics. She had some ability, some uncanny ability to know things about myself. But it was really about maybe two-thirds through the session when I felt a whirling sensation over my head. And I was quite kind of disconcerted because I didn't know what that was. And without my saying anything to her, she said, "Are you aware that there's a ball of light over your head?" And I said, "I don't know what that is, but I can feel there's something up there." She said, "It's a ball of light. You have a lot of help on the other side." And I said, "Well, what does that mean?" And she said, "Angels, loved ones, spirits that want to help you in your spiritual growth. You are very underdeveloped spiritually. You are mainly physical and mentally developed, and you need to be spiritually developed." And I said, "Well, how do you do that?" And she said, "You ask. You have to ask." So that night on the roof of my flat roof house out in the canyon where I lived, I lay there under the stars reflecting on my life, and I did sort of a reverse sinner's prayer. I said, "You on the other side, I want your help in my life." And with that, my life took off like a rocket ship into the new age. I had one spiritual experience after another. Later, I would find out that Jesus warns about deception. He warns about deceptive spirits. The Bible's real clear. In 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." This whole spiritual experience I had led me from one thing into another, from gurus like Rajneesh into channelers like the one I was with in Napa Valley, and ultimately into A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles being a very popular set of teachings that purports to come from Jesus through Helen Schuchman, clinical psychologist at Columbia University. She heard an inner voice that said, "This is A Course in Miracles, please take notes," and she did for 7 years. The voice purported to be Jesus and is now being presented throughout the world as authoritative new revelation from Jesus Christ, endorsed by none other than Oprah Winfrey and many others who are saying that these teachings have revolutionized their lives. However, I just got deeper and deeper into it, and what finally happened was, at the height of doing Course in Miracle groups and being really involved, I had to deal, my wife and I, my girlfriend at the time, had to deal with a spiritual presence that felt malevolent. We did not understand it. It felt dark. It felt bad. We couldn't see what was going on, but we knew there was some kind of spiritual thing happening. And all of our New Age teachings told us that it was simply our own inner darkness manifesting out in the world, that we needed to go inside ourselves, think the right thoughts, follow our Course in Miracles affirmations that everything is God, everything is good. In my defenselessness, there were all sorts of teachings that taught you that you didn't have to defend yourself and really that your safety was in defenselessness. But what happened was that none of those teachings worked. I went to my Course in Miracles teacher. I pleaded. I said, "What is going on?" And we stood in circles, and we had light and love channeled into us, and nothing seemed to work. And at Christmas time in 1983, I was at a little bookstore down in Hermosa Beach called the Either Or Bookstore, and in the New Age section of the bookstore, there was a Christian book called The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. And in that book, she talked about how she had been led into a lot of deceptive teaching. She had been a channeler in Mexico. She had worked with spirits. And then she, too, had experienced a malevolent presence. And her solution was remarkable. And I sat there in the store, and I took notes, and I really felt that I was being told something that was really true. And as I was taking notes, a homeless, mentally ill man came off the streets, came back to the back of the bookstore where I was at, and started screaming at me, "Are you going to buy that book? What are you doing with that book?" And I clutched the book to my breast, and I basically said to myself, "Does evil know that I'm reading about it?" It was like a real understanding that I had. It was like unbelievable. Anyway, I wrote down her conclusions, and I read a lot of the scripture. I was too proud to buy the book because I was still a New Ager. I was about to buy a Christian book, but I thought her suggestions and her ideas were really good. So the next day, when this presence was once again there, I told my girlfriend, "Let's go out in the backyard. I want to try something different." And told her not to be afraid. Addressing the presence, I said, "Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I call upon the victory of the cross of Calvary and the blood that was shed on that cross, and I command you to leave." And it was like whoosh. It just left. And my girlfriend said, "It's gone. What happened?" And I said, "I'm not exactly sure, but it has something to do with the real victory on the cross of Calvary. It has something to do with teachings in the Bible that we don't really understand, and we need to really start reading the Bible. And it took us about, I think about 5 months before we truly committed our life to the Lord. But it was an amazing experience. And I know some people have said, well, how could you call upon that victory if you weren't Christians? And I think, Dr. Stan, it was kind of like, remember the story of the Ethiopian eunuch who was endeavoring to understand, and Philip was sent and came alongside and explained the scriptures. I think that's what Johanna Michelson did for my wife and I, and she brought the scriptures to life. And all of a sudden, all of the warnings that Jesus had about deception, about end times, false Christs, all that stuff came into play, and we realized that we had been a part of a very deceptive movement that, in the name of God and love and Christ and peace, was actually the platform that the devil was going to bring in his Antichrist figure.
Well, you know, I think it's amazing that, you know, you would tell this story, that, you know, you would invite this spirit into your life. But, of course, this is what so many young people will do. You know, they're sort of intrigued by all these things, a Ouija board. And, you know, you just sort of sit down there, and it's just a game. It's only a game. And, of course, you put your hands on them, whatever this is you do. And of course, you know, and then the things begin to move. And without realizing it, of course, you have conjured up these demonic spirits, because there are demonic spirits. This is not imaginary. It is very, very real. And I've talked to enough people who played with the Ouija boards to know that there is something there. And there, the other things, these young kids will play a Bloody Mary, or they will levitate heavy tables, you know, four of them, each using one finger to raise this table up. And gee, look at that. Look at that power we've tapped into. But they have no idea that they're tapping into the supernatural power of evil, which is very real. It's not imaginary. It is here, and just as there is a power in the blood of Jesus Christ, so there is power in the dark side. But of course, the one thing you, of course, realize, I'm sure, is that the power on our side is far greater than the power on the other side, and you really can order these demonic spirits to obey you, but you have to, of course, not obeying you, but obeying through your mediator, Jesus Christ. We have no power of our own.
Absolutely not. I realized, because the teachings were clear in Johanna's book, that we were calling, when Jesus died on the cross, he literally defeated sin, evil, the devil, and we're calling upon that victory. Yeah, we do nothing in and by ourselves, but I've seen people take evil lightly. You'll hear people say, "Oh, I'm going to give that devil a kick in the rear or something." You know,
what the devil is due.
And you remember the Michael Archangel? You know, it was like the Lord rebuke you. It was like you just don't mess. And I think that's really true what you said. God is so much more powerful, but I do think that the church has underestimated the deceptive powers of evil, and they've underestimated the power of what the New Age is doing today. And that was why I wrote my book, Reinventing Jesus Christ, the New Gospel, because the New Age has formed a unified group of leaders that are now coming at the church and saying, choose to join us in oneness, peace, and love, or choose to die. Now, they don't say it exactly like that, but when you pierce through all of their readings, and I've done a really thorough job of researching this, this is exactly what they're saying. They're saying that if you choose to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is what they call separation. Oneness is when you recognize the divinity of all mankind and you interconnect with everybody on that level. If you choose not to do that and you say, no, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I am not divine, I am not a part of God, then they are saying that that belief is the cause of hatred, self-centeredness, and terrorism in the world today, and that it needs to be selected out. And I know you're familiar with Barbara Marx Hubbard, because in your November 1998 newsletter, looking at it right now, you said, Barbara Marx Hubbard and the dark spiritual movement she represents are deadly serious. America is moving rapidly into perilous times. Barbara Marx Hubbard is one of the sort of unknown to most people leaders of the New Age, and she has a whole stable of people around her who are now on major network shows, from PBS to Oprah to Larry King, and they are talking about oneness and peace as the solution to terrorism. However, their oneness and peace is based on the platform of false teachings that say that we are all God. really believe that the great delusion is the same delusion that the serpent reached out to Eve, that we can be as God. And that's what they're saying. And unfortunately, Dr. Stan, a lot of people are buying into this, especially after September 11th. They came just out of nowhere, and they were just everywhere, using September 11th to scare people into the possibility of worldly extinction or compromising. They're asking everybody to compromise and to come up with a unified one world, one religion, one belief that we can all agree on, so we all have the set of rules. And you said you had talked to Dean Goucher. Dean's ability to present the consensus process, I think, is a tremendous gift to the church. And it allows you to look at what the New Age is doing, because people like Neil Donald Walsh in his Conversations with God book, he's actually saying that God is telling him that we need to change the rules. We are all God. We made this whole thing up. Therefore, we can change the rules. We can recreate the world, and we can create peace. We can create oneness, and we can bring Christ in through our positive thoughts. And it's sort of like a baseball team being behind in the ninth inning and deciding that they're really going to play 12 innings and change the rules so that they can win the game. Well, they're not going to win, but the Bible is very clear that deception does get a real foothold, and I think that's happening right now. Hopefully, over the course of the show, we'll be able to develop this new... They're not calling it the New Age, of course. They're repackaging it. Neil Donald Walsh even used that term. He says, we're repackaging it so people can accept it. They're calling it the new spirituality, the new gospel. And they're challenging Christian leaders to accept it.
Well, of course, the thing is that certainly what's the solution to terrorism, worldwide terrorism? We have to have world government. All the governments have to work together to root out the wicked Osama bin Laden and his followers, who are a threat to us and to our very survival. So that is certainly one justification for the New World Order. As far as the New World Religion, why, of course, what we need to do is unite certainly all of the Baptists together, and then all the Christians together, and then the evangelical Christians and the Catholics. And, of course, we certainly can respect that the Muslims worship the same God as we do. Of course, it isn't true, but that doesn't really matter, because truth has nothing to do with this. What they have done and what they're doing today in the evangelical church, they are changing the message of the gospel. And certainly, you're well aware of how they're changing the very makeup of God. This is no longer a God that we sort of look to with awe and certainly with reverence. God has become sort of like a Santa Claus. You know, he loves everybody. He has gifts for everybody. He wants only the best for everybody. And of course, he certainly would never punish anybody for a sin. Why, that would be against his very nature. Who'd want to worship a God who would punish people simply because they led a sinful life? And so they've changed the very nature of God within the evangelical church today. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely. The thing that's interesting is, as you watch this mega church church growth movement that's happening, it's really a parallel stream of what the New Age is doing. The New Age is unifying. They have a single group now that's called the Global Renaissance Alliance, that's made up of all the New Age leaders. They're all operating off of the same sound bites, the same platform, and they're talking about oneness and unity. And then you look over on the Christian side of things, and we're being told that the only way God can operate is through corporate unity. I mean, it's very interesting. There's even a group called Oneness Pentecostals. And this whole idea of organizing everybody into this massive block is really interesting to watch, because it would be so easy down the line to graft it in to the New Age.
And I think this is exactly what is happening. And I think as you listen to the program here this evening, and you begin to identify the personalities and what they're doing, and of course it's very difficult for people to believe that this works at the highest echelons of our government, but remember when Hillary invited Jean Houston to come to the White House to conjure up the spirits of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mohandas Gandhi. People didn't understand the spiritual significance of conjuring up spirits in the White House. But this didn't start with Hillary Clinton. It's been there a long time before. It was there with Nancy Reagan, who was going to her astrology for directions on how to run the presidency of the United States. We'll be right back here in just a few moments with Warren Smith. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Warren Smith. This evening we're talking about his book, Reinventing Jesus Christ, The New Gospel. It's an inexpensive treatise, but it's well done, beautifully done, very professionally done. It's about 90 pages or so. And, of course, it just will give you what the people on the other side talk about and how open they are. And then, of course, how these people will appear on Oprah Winfrey and other areas. And, of course, by television we're being told, oh, there's a new gospel now. Certainly Jesus Christ has talked to these people. And, well, the old gospel was all right. But this is the new gospel about all oneness and love and, and, of course, don't some of these the books, these ones that are coming out that have recently been channeled, actually talk about how the old gospel was wrong, and now we have the real true gospel being brought forth from Jesus Christ contacting these people?
You're asking me this question?
Yes.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, it's interesting because over the last, since 1975, really, The Course in Miracles came out in 1975. Helen Schuchman did her channeling in the 60s, but we've had some major streams. We had The Course in Miracles and The Jesus of A Course in Miracles. We have Maitreya, who is the one who said he is the Christ, and he is on earth waiting for humanity to call him forth. He's the one that took Benjamin Krim, his prophet, took out full-page ads in very huge papers like the New York Times and others around the world back in 1982, saying that the Christ is here and he will appear. You had that stream. Then you had Marianne Williamson coming on Oprah in 1992 with her book about A Course in Miracles, and Oprah's endorsement catapulted Williamson, who was an unknown author, onto the top of the New York Times bestseller list, and it was like the Christ of the new gospel was suddenly out of the closet and into the mainstream. Then you had Neil Donald Walsh with his Conversations with God books, where he purports that, you know, God talked to him and then God has all these teachings. But what I want to do is come back to this New World Order thing you were talking about and this alternative Christ that's being presented. It's not Jesus Christ, it's Christ with Jesus taken away. And they say that every one of us is Christ and has Christ within us, and that it's our inability to recognize that that's causing all the problems in humanity. And Christians who insist on an outside Savior are among the chief culprits of keeping this world from evolving to the next level, evolutionary level. It's like social Darwinism. We're holding humanity back. But listen to what Neil Donald Walsh's God said about George Bush Sr. This is supposedly God speaking to Neil Donald Walsh. Quote, there have been those leaders among you who have been insightful enough and brave enough to propose the beginnings of such a new world order. Your George Bush, whom history will judge to be a man of far greater wisdom, vision, compassion, and courage than contemporary society was willing or able to acknowledge, was such a leader. So was Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev. Then you listen to what Wayne Peterson, who is a latter-day Benjamin Krim, he was director of Fulbright scholarship program with the U.S. government. He was a diplomat, and he says that Maitreya has come to him and that the Christ, just as Krem said, is waiting to appear. And in my book, on page 28, I said perhaps one of Peterson's chief revelations is that one of the political figures who openly acknowledges that he is working with Maitreya to bring peace to the world is former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev.
Now we're going to have to interrupt you right there because we want to bring our listeners on the Great Northwest right back to be here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, while our listeners up north were listening to some other items, why we've been talking to Warren Smith, he was saying that, of course, in some of the writings, some of these channeled writings, they were praising, of course, George Herbert Walker Bush, saying what an enlightened individual he was. And then, of course, really what an enlightened individual Gorbachev is, really, because, of course, these people are moving us towards this world government. And if you read the cultural writings, not only in the last century, but going back literally thousands of years, they have always been promoting this idea of a new world order, a new world government. Certainly, if you go back and you remember the story of Nimrod building the Tower of Babel. Now, we never completed that because God intervened. But if you go to Europe today, you will see certainly placards up, giant pictures of the Tower of Babel, incomplete as it were. And then, of course, the caption beneath, this is the new European Union. And, of course, all of the stars there are upside-down stars, which gives them an occultic significance. If you go to Strasbourg, where the building is built for the new European Union, it is an exact replica, even with the bare beams just sticking up to demonstrate the incomplete building of the Tower of Babel. Now, the people who are behind all of this in Europe understand the spiritual significance, even to put out a stamp of a woman riding the beast. All of these come from the book of Revelation. They, of course, flaunt openly what they're doing because the people of Europe have lost their Christian belief. You really want to go someplace and meditate all by yourself, you can go into a church in most places in Europe today, and there's hardly anybody there. There are far more mosques in southern France than there are Christian churches in southern France, and because the church lied to the people of Europe during the Second World War, they lost their faith, and the same is all true in Great Britain. I mean, there they were preaching Romans 13, you're not to be involved, the rapture is coming, just go along, and of course they saw the terrible consequences of the false teaching of the church. But, of course, it's amazing. Of course, the people of Europe know that this is rebuilding the Temple of Babel. That is what the European Union is all about. And that will be the mainstay of this new world order, this one world government that Nimrod dreamed of 5,000 years ago and that the leaders of the world today dream about. So you have to understand the new world order is so important. George Bush talked about it, and he about the new world order and 1,000 points of light. Those came from a woman named Alice Bailey, who was a Luciferian. She was writing in the early decades of the 20th century, and we have all of her books. She wrote about the new world order. She wrote about the 1,000 points of light, or about the points of light that George Bush talked about. And, of course, who was George Bush? Why, he was the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. He was on the board of directors of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was a member of the Bilderbergers and the Trilateral Commission, and all of these organizations are dedicated to a one-world government. He was also vice president of the United States under Ronald Reagan and really ran the Reagan administration, and then he was the president of the United States. And today, his son is the President of the United States. They come from the Skull and Bones, which is a secret occult pagan organization. And I really feel so much better if our Christian president would renounce his membership in this pagan organization that has deep roots within Nazism and the religions of Germany. So why don't you pick up the story from there, Warren?
Well, it's interesting, I just had that conversation with a friend the other night, and I said the same thing about our president. I said I really would be a lot more comfortable with his Christianity if he would renounce the Skull and Bones and take a more solid stand on some of the deception and just go a little bit deeper. A lot of the people that are coming into the White House have a lot of the pop Christianity. The interesting thing is, like, the prayer of Jabez, at the heart of the prayer of Jabez, it talks about enlarging our borders. I think that prayer, my own opinion, is that prayer was perfectly appropriate for Jabez, but to try to universalize that for every Christian reading it and applying it to get blessings in their own life just is a lot more, you know, consistent with the New Age than it is with the Gospel. But in terms of Nazism, it's very interesting because Walsh's God, and now we need to just explain, Neil Donald Walsh wrote this book purporting to be conversations that he had with God, and the first one was called Conversation with God, Book 1. It went to the New York Times, top the New York Times bestseller list, and stayed there for 2.5 years. And a lot of believers don't even really know who he is. But here are a few of the things that God, quote-unquote God, told Neil Donald Walsh. Quote, the mistakes Hitler made did no harm or damage to those whose deaths he caused. Those souls were released from their earthly bondage like butterflies emerging from a cocoon. Another quote from God to Walsh. So the first thing you have to understand, as I've already explained to you, is that Hitler didn't hurt anyone. In a sense, he didn't inflict suffering, he ended it. Now listen to this one, Dr. Stan. Quote, I tell you this, at the moment of your death, you will realize the greatest freedom, the greatest peace, the greatest joy, and the greatest love you've ever known. Shall we therefore punish Brer Fox for throwing Brer Rabbit into the briar patch?
We'll be right back with Warren Smith. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Warren Smith. We're talking about his wonderful, wonderful book, Reinventing Jesus Christ, The New Gospel. And believe me, the New Gospel is being preached all across America today. And of course, it's that, well, we don't want to talk about sin or that we're sinners saved by grace because we don't want to make people think that they've been bad people. No, no. We don't want to make anybody feel bad about pretty much of anything. And certainly, we're never going to talk about hell. We're never going to talk about damnation. We're never going to talk about eternal punishment because that's not sort of God. That's not the God of love. We're going to have just a God, and he's only got one attribute, and that's love. You know, and he wears a big red suit, and he's got a long white beard, and of course, as somebody once said, if God is only love, then it is the ultimate triumph of evil. If God is only love, then it is the ultimate triumph of evil, and that is exactly what evil is pushing on us today, and how many churches have accepted that. Go ahead,
Warren. Dr. Stan, yeah, I think you made some really good points, and I think one of the things that I think Christians need to be very, anybody, but, you know, especially the Christians that are listening to the show need to be aware of is that when people in the New Age, New Gospel, and what they're calling the New Spirituality, when they use terms, they will use Christian terms with completely different meanings. Now, let me give you an example. The Jesus of A Course in Miracles, who is, you know, well represented by Marianne Williamson, who's been, you know, chief spokesperson for The Course in Miracles, again, you know, endorsed by Oprah Winfrey. Here's the Jesus of A Course in Miracles definition of atonement. This is a quote. The atonement is the final lesson he, man, need learn, for it teaches him that never having sinned, he has no need of salvation. I mean, if that isn't upside down, backwards, and everything else, I don't know what is. Here are a few other things. There is no, this is in line with what you just said. The Jesus of A Course in Miracles says there is no sin, it has no consequence. You were not persecuted, neither was I. And these are some of the more blasphemous things, and these are things that Marianne Williamson quoted in her book that Oprah Winfrey bought 1,000 copies of and gave to people in her studio audience. These quotes were in that book. Quote, from Jesus, do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. The only message of the crucifixion is that you can overcome the cross. Until then, you are free to crucify yourself as often as you choose. This is not the gospel I intended to offer. Alice Bailey talked about a new gospel, and these people are putting it into practice right on TV. Here's another quote from the Jesus of the Course in Miracles. The journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. If you can accept it as your own last useless journey, you are also free to join my resurrection. So skipping from that Jesus over to the God of Neil Donald Walsh, and we have to remember that Williamson and Walsh co-founded the Global Renaissance Alliance. On that board sits Barbara Marx Hubbard, Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, who's been on PBS multitudinous times, a whole slew of other New Age leaders. They have all come together. And going back to what God was saying to Walsh about Hitler, he basically said, I tell you this, at the moment of your death, you will realize the greatest freedom, the greatest peace, the greatest joy, and the greatest love you've ever known. Shall we therefore punish Brer Fox for throwing Brer Rabbit into the briar patch? And you jump from that to Barbara Marx Hubbard's selection process, which says, if you do not choose to evolve, to become aware of your own divinity, then you will choose to select yourself out of humanity and you will be eliminated. This is very serious stuff, and the question that needs to be asked is, where are our Christian leaders? Why are they not addressing this? Why are they not responding it? Why are they not educating people as to what's going on? And why are they hitting up huge oneness corporate church movements of their own that could, without any differentiation, lead right into the very same process down the line?
Well, you know, I think that one of the things is that our churches never speak out against the Masonic movement, and yet the Masonic movement has its certainly roots in the New Age. In fact, their magazine, until, oh, maybe about 15 years ago, was known as the New Age. And, of course, you read Masonic writings, they are taking us into the New Age. And yet, you will never go into a church in America today, at least never one I've ever been in, where they've ever spoken out against Masonry, because, quite frankly, they're afraid to. Because if you're a minister and you speak out against Masonry, you can be sure they have people planted in your congregation who are going to, of course, destroy you and ask you to resign. And this has happened to a number of ministers who've had the courage to speak out, And, of course, that's why nobody else will speak out. And yet, of course, this all fits together because these are all parts of this changing the very nature of God and who God is. And, of course, we have these people at every level of our government. And but getting back to the New Age movement and what they're teaching, I think the subject of Barbara Marx Hubbard is certainly one of the most fascinating. Because, Barbara, would you like to tell our listeners who Barbara Marx Hubbard is? She's one of the most powerful women in America today, and yet the average American has never heard of her.
Barbara Marx Hubbard was, you know, she is very proud of telling her background, which I think she has five children. She was a housewife. And she had a vision that she claims came from Christ, and that it showed her the world in the future, and it showed her that we were all one, and that light and miracles and healings were flowing in, and that it was all tied in with the New Age belief in our own divinity. She has been traveling the world for years. She travels with very high-level diplomats, Robert Mueller of the UN, formerly at the UN, outcome-based education, Gorbachev. She's talked to numerous groups all over the country. She's on the board of directors of the Global Renaissance Alliance, and she has written a number of books, including a book called The Revelation, which purports to be an updated new revelation telling us that new teachings are going to supersede the misunderstood and old gospel teachings of the Bible. Basically, she says that Christ told her that the Armageddon described, the whole revelation seen in the Bible, is something that does not have to take place. It can be changed. And of course, Dr. Stan, we all know that Jesus made it really clear in that revelation that these events must take place. And they're trying to present it as if Christians are bringing these events into place by thinking that they will happen. And that's not at all the case. I mean, nobody wants, you know, to have that kind of disorder or that kind of those kind of events in their life. But we read and believe that Jesus told us that the world gets so chaotic because of leaders like Barbara Marx Hubbard and this whole New Age movement, and it gets to be where something has to happen to bring it down. And so basically, I guess the game's called on account of darkness at the end. I mean, that's really what Revelation's all about. But she's saying that Revelation, there's an alternative to Armageddon, and that if we all believe and interconnect and link up and know that we're divine, we can change the future. We can recreate the future. And she is really, I think, one of the most powerful forces behind the New Age movement. And as you know, she has not really taken a very public role. She's been behind the scenes doing things for years. But interestingly, on the one-year anniversary of September 11th, she was the keynote speaker at Texas A&M University, which houses the George Bush Senior Library. And she was a keynote speaker, and it was a day that was proclaimed by the governor of Texas to be a remembrance of September 11th. And she followed people singing Amazing Grace. There was taps. There was a written message from former President George Bush, a written message from State Senator Steve Ogden. It was a big, huge day. And we have to ask the question, what is Barbara Marx Hubbard doing there in the evening, giving a talk that was entitled 9/11 Wake-Up Call to Higher Education? She talked basically, there was an article in the Texas A&M paper, and the next day, they said, quote, describing humanity as being at an evolutionary crossroads, Barbara Marx Hubbard told the Texas A&M University audience, we have equal power to destroy ourselves or create and transform ourselves into something greater. Her titled lecture was A New Evolution for the Future of Humanity, 9/11, a wake-up call for the next step in human development. And we both know, Dr. Stan, and a lot of people don't know, that in the midst of all those teachings, it says there's a selection process. For those who choose not to believe that they're divine, they will self-select themselves out of humanity. That's a nice way of saying you're choosing to die rather than we're going to kill you. I mean, it's all semantics. These people, they have different connotations for words like atonement, for everything that they talk about, oneness, love, peace. When you get to the bottom line definition, you have to believe that you're a part of God, that we're all divinely interconnected, and if you don't, you are the root cause of hatred. Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, Wayne Dyer, all of these people, they all have a party platform, and they're all saying, they're scratching their heads on TV, and they're going, you know what we need to do? We need to find out what the root cause of hatred is. And then you look at what Maitreya says, and he says that hatred is begotten of separation. Separation is when you don't believe in your own divinity. It's a nasty circle that goes round and round. But these people are challenging Christian leaders to dialogue with them, to change their beliefs, to compromise. And I think what we're watching in the church growth movement and with this corporate unity is the beginnings of a real huge sellout, unless somebody steps forward and starts to differentiate between what the New Age is saying and what they're saying. And I don't know if we have time right now, but I'll give you a really good example of how that's happening. Do we have a minute or two still? Dr. Stan?
Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. An example is that the word imagine is used a lot in the New Age. Imagine, of course, was the title of the John Lennon, the Beatles' John Lennon song, and the key line was, when the world will be as one. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagining is really a form of witchcraft, because you're conjuring up what you want, what your will is, not what God. You don't say God's will be done, you're saying my will be done when you're imagining. If you look in your concordance, the word imagine has many, many negative connotations in the Bible. There's almost no good reference to the word imaginer. You cast down imaginations, the people imagined a vain thing. But yet, the word imagine pops up on a Christian website filled with Christian leaders, and they called it the Imagine website. And their website talked about a world prayer movement, and they used the word imagine, and they would go, imagine, dot, dot, dot. And they had all these Christian leaders, including well-known people like Bill Bright, Paul Cedar, Jack Hafer, T.D. Jakes, Bill McCartney, Chuck Pierce, and they were all using the word imagine. Imagine what the church could do if they prayed. Then you flip over to the Global Renaissance Alliance webpage, and you see the same thing. It's a world prayer movement. Imagine, dot, 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 what the world could do if we all prayed. And we actually talked about this on John Leffler's program, and a number of other people were talking about this inappropriateness of this Imagine website. Meanwhile, a friend of mine who was a radio announcer in Wisconsin was getting daily emails from Hayford and others wanting to get on the show talking about the website. And then all of a sudden, just within 2 weeks of a number of us raising questions, the website went down. And when you went to Imagine, all of a sudden you get the presidential prayer team. That's what you get. Imagine website disappeared. When my friend asked, why did it go down? There was no good answer. It was just, well, we just decided not to do it.
Well, don't you think, though, that many of these people really have never even considered the significance of what they're into?
No, I think that's the point I'm trying to make. I think that most of these Christian leaders are very well-intentioned, but I think there are some people behind the scenes, people like, I don't know who, like Hubbard, the equivalent of Hubbard in Christian circles, who are grievous wolves. Paul warned that there were grievous wolves. He didn't cease to warn night and day for 3 years, he said, that there were grievous wolves in the church and they were really turning things around. And I think that a lot of these people are being manipulated. Isn't it unbelievable that Marianne Williamson has a book of essays by New Age leaders, including Dennis Kucinich, who's a Democratic candidate for president, who is a New Ager himself. He doesn't call himself a New Ager. It would be the new gospel, the new spirituality. She has a book of essays that's called Imagine. You've got John Lennon's song. You've got the word imagine being used throughout New Age circles. How can Christian leaders be so ignorant of the use of that word, especially if they go to their concordance and look at the way the Bible uses the word? My point is that they're just not aware of these things, but then we come back to why aren't they? Why is this all being pushed to the side? Why are people who came out of the New Age like my... If you go to a Christian bookstore, I just would challenge anybody listening to go to a Christian bookstore, see if you can find any testimony by any of us that came out of the New Age. See if you can find anything except sort of an encyclopedic description of the New Age. There is nothing telling you what is going on. All of these people, all of these gods and Christs that all the Global Renaissance Alliance New Age leaders are talking about, they're all saying the same thing, and it's consistent with the teachings of Maitreya. We should keep an eye on Maitreya. I don't say that he's the Antichrist, but he's someone that Mikhail Gorbachev is saying is the Christ. Nelson Mandela is saying he's the Christ, according to Wayne Peterson, one of Maitreya's prophets. There is an incredible amount of ignorance going on in the church, and I think it's a planned ignorance. And I just really appreciate the fact that you have people on your show like myself who are able to tell their story. I spent a long time in the New Age. I've been writing articles for years. It's very hard to get a voice out there in the Christian marketplace because it's mainly K-Love music. They've cut out a lot of the shows. I think John Leffler used to be in Colorado Springs, and now he's been relegated to, you know, a show that's, you know, still listened to by people that really know what's going on. But anybody that's telling the truth has been shoved to the sidelines. Why is that? Because this thing is in full gear. We need to put a spotlight on it. Ephesians 5, we need to bring it into the light.
Amen to that. Well, let me just comment briefly on Barbara Marks Hubbard. First of all, she's a very, very wealthy woman. She inherited the Marks toy fortune. And then, of course, she was the vice presidential nominee in 1984, ran against Geraldine Ferraro. We have a copy of the original manuscript of the Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation. Now, she went all over the country giving talks on this, and, of course, the book was channeled to her by a Christ spirit. That's what she described it. The Christ spirit channeled to her the correct interpretation of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the last book of the Bible. And she goes into great detail about Revelation 6:8. And I look, and behold, a pale horse, and the rider upon him was death, and Hades followed shortly thereafter, and power was given unto him to kill a quarter of the population of the world by the sword, and with hunger, and with pestilence, and with the beasts of the world. She goes on to talk about those, a quarter of the population can evolve to a higher level, and a quarter of the population certainly doesn't care too much, but there's a quarter of the population that will not evolve to a higher level. That's us Christians, it's very obvious. She doesn't say that. But then she goes on to say they're going to have to be eliminated, and that is not your job, my dear. That is ours, for we are the riders of the pale horse, death. That is not your job, my dear, for we are the riders of the pale horse, death. Now, if you'd like copies of that, we actually provide them for our listeners, and we'll be glad to get you one. Just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a couple of copies from the original manuscript that she distributed. The book was cleaned up, of course, when it was republished by the Rockefeller family, by Lawrence Rockefeller's Endowment for the Humanities. You must understand, the wealthiest family in America, the Rockefellers, are deeply involved in the occult, whether it be Lawrence Rockefeller, who, of course, published Barbara Marks Hubbard's material, Stephen Rockefeller, who's working very closely with Mikhail Gorbachev and Maurice Strong today, and his book Spirit and Nature comes right out of the very pit of hell, whether it would be a Winthrop Rockefeller, who governor of Arkansas with the largest pornography collection in the world, and of course David Rockefeller has recently joined a Republican organization that embraces the homosexuals, believes that they should be brought into the party, very pro-homosexual. But you see, the one thing people have not understood is the fact that the Rockefeller family is one of the major pushers of this whole One World, New World Order. David Rockefeller, 20 years, was the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, probably the single richest man in the world. And if you really believe Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are the richest people, why, you've probably been reading too much of Time Magazine or listening to ABC, CBS, and NBC. So this whole world occult movement, people of great wealth and great power, and of course they have an agenda, a new world order, a new world religion.
And I think it's really interesting to know what you just said. David Rockefeller, actually, there's this man named Wayne Peterson, who is chapter 4 in my book. He's sort of a latter-day Benjamin Krim. He's this diplomat that worked for the government, worked for the Fulbright scholarship program, and is now saying that he had a spiritual experience with Maitreya. He's preparing the way for Maitreya. He said that he got his start in government service when David Rockefeller recruited him, basically, in college and gave him some breaks to help him get started. The thing that's really interesting is that, as you said, Lawrence Rockefeller is the one that funded the Revelation, the book by Barbara Marks Hubbard, that talks about this Christ of the 21st century, as you know, is noted in her book. So the thing that's really interesting is when I was doing my research for this book, I noted that Wayne Peterson, this Maitreya advocate, was actually appearing on a TV program in Santa Barbara, California. And on a hunch, I went and found out that on the board of directors of that television program was none other than Barbara Marks Hubbard. So you have at least an indirect link between David Rockefeller and Lawrence Rockefeller, and you also have the possibility, very real possibility, that Barbara Marks Hubbard's Christ is not adverse to Maitreya the Christ, because they allowed Peterson to get on that show and to talk at length about how the Christ is here and he's waiting for humanity to call him forth. The thing that's so interesting is that Maitreya's teachings are completely consistent with all of the teachings of A Course in Miracles, Neil Donald Walsh, James Redfield, Deepak Chopra, and the rest of them. They are all talking about the same Christ, and it may very well be that Maitreya is not only not a laughingstock, he may very well be the one that's going to come forth. We'll have to wait and see, and I don't know that. But there's a lot of evidence to indicate Maitreya has taken some very strong, made some very strong statements about consequences for those who are into separation. And I'll give you an example. He says, this is Maitreya, I shall drive from this earth forever the curse of hatred, the sin of separation. There's that separation that's talked about by Hubbard's Christ. Another example would be when he talks about driving anything that interferes with divinity from this earth. Very strong statements that would be consistent and compatible with the selection process. I think that Christians need to really wake up, and they need to ask their Christian leaders, why are we just talking about blessings and the coming revival, and why are we getting so excited about holy laughter and these experiential things that make people think that God is just so pleased with the church, so pleased with everybody, when I think, in fact, what's happening is that there's a deceptive spirit that has moved into the church, that is imitating the true spirit, and is giving people experiences that are drawing them closer and closer to this new spirituality, this new gospel, and this false Christ that is waiting on the periphery of the world scene to make his entry.
And, of course, this is why they've changed the music of the churches. Apropos of Barbara Marks Hubbard, let me just point out that she was a founding member of the World Future Society. Now, the Futurist Magazine, the World Future Society publishes the Futurist Magazine. She is listed on the board of directors there, along with Robert Strange McNamara. You remember Robert Strange McNamara. He was the man who sent our boys over to Vietnam to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but never, never to be allowed to win. Sort of like a great human Luciferian sacrifice, because we never went there to win, and Robert McNamara will admit we never went there to win, and he knew we couldn't win, and the reason we couldn't win is he wouldn't allow us to win. They could just, of course, bleed and suffer and die there. And then, of course, Marie Strong is on the board of directors of the World Futurist Society magazine, The Futurist, but their logo was a circle made up of three sixes, and that was there for many years until I began talking about it on the radio, and I don't know whether that had any influence, but suddenly one day, they changed the logo, and a completely different logo. But we have the other ones. If you doubt that, or you can go to your library and get back issues of the Futurist magazine and look at the logo there on the second or third page, the circle with three sixes. And, of course, the three sixes are every place. You don't recognize them. You'll see them in movies. You'll see them demonstrated. In fact, Kathy Burns has a wonderful book. It's called Freemasonic and Occult Symbols. If you haven't read it, you need to get it. Because, you see, they hide their symbols in plain sight, and then they laugh at how stupid the Christians are, because we don't see them.
Dr. Stan, you know, in regards to Hubbard being on, and she's on the board of the World Future Society, isn't it just amazing and just incredible that there is a Colorado Springs Christian leader by the name of Jay Gary who is in the World Future Society, and who actually, you know, was a part of this group that gave Barbara Marks Hubbard an award for being, you know, a religious leader. And this has been brought up. He hasn't renounced it. He's involved with high-level Christian doings in Colorado Springs. And there it is. I mean, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the merging of people like Jay Gary and his New Age Christianity. He denies it. He says, you got to watch out for the New Age. But there he is. You know, he said he had been friends with Robert Mueller. He's in Barbara Marks Hubbard's World Future Society. He's a prototype for a lot of the compromise and sellout that's gone on within the church. We just happen to see his. Others are not so obvious.
Well, the difficulty is, of course, that the average Christian is totally unaware of these things, and we don't want to be thinking, we don't want to be judgmental. We just want to go with the flow, and we want to love everybody and have everybody love us. Unfortunately, this is not the world we live in. Yes, of course, we have to be loving as Christians. We have to be forgiving as Christians. But we have to recognize, of course, that Christianity has been infiltrated. I belong to a number of very excellent conservative Christian organizations. And to my knowledge, every single one of them has been infiltrated by the other side and is no longer pursuing the purpose for which it was formed. And yet, of course, the members are not well aware of that. And if you stop and look and see what's happening, why is there no outcry today about what's going on? Why is it only the ACLU is out there? Of course, everybody knows what the ACLU is. That's the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union. Yet they're the only ones who are opposing what the administration is doing, the USA Patriot Act, and so many of the other things they're doing. They're taking away our freedom, total information awareness, a system put up by DARPA, a collection of dossiers on everybody. I don't know if you've been to the doctor recently or been to the hospital, and they give you this new thing on medical privacy. And this is about medical privacy. What it says is why we can give all of your medical records to the government anytime they want to. Why are they collecting information on our medical records? I thought we were involved in a war on terrorism. Why do they want the records on every law-abiding American citizen? And I'll tell you why, because the war on terrorism has nothing to do with terrorism. It has to do with the war on the American people, a war against Christianity.
And I want to interrupt you because that's exactly right. The war on terrorism is going to be turned upside down, and it's going to be aimed right at Christians. Neil Donald Walsh's God, this is a quote, "You think you're being terrorized by other people, but in truth you're being terrorized by your beliefs. And the belief in separation is the ultimate definition of why we're in trouble, according to these people, that separation is the cause of hatred and self-centeredness. So their whole peace and safety plan, that is the platform of their Christ, is going to try to supersede the traditional teachings of Christianity. And when I see the Jabez Prayer, I see the potential when it says, enlarge my borders. That word enlarge is used 15 times, the exact same word, in Neil Donald Walsh's latest book that he purports to receive from God, that we have to enlarge our beliefs. And I think we're in the process. There's a lot of talk on Trinity Broadcasting Network and other more extreme sort of Christian stations that God is doing a quote-unquote new thing. You hear that. The term new revelation is even coming through. God is doing something for this century, not the first century, but the 21st century.
We're going to have to interrupt you there because we're going to have to say goodbye to our listeners up in the Great Northwest. And if you're up there and, of course, you have a computer, you can hear the next next hour on certainly on our RadioLiberty.com, and we hope many of you will go to our website. And of course, this is the time when we have to remind you, of course, that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you agree that there's a problem, we hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters as we reach out across America 5 hours a day on shortwave, internet, satellite, radio, about 58 different outlets, 59 every week now. Some of them are only half an hour, but at least they're hearing the truth. You'll want to get, of course, a copy of the Jesus Christ, Reinventing Jesus Christ. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and then pray for America. Pray for revival. I pray that God will forgive the sins of this nation. And lastly, we ask you to remember, please, to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday evening, when we'll be back with you once again, this is Dr. Stan saying good night, and may the Lord be with you. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for surviving of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But I'm going to ask you to hold your calls for another half hour because, of course, we want to make a great two-tape set out of this, and who knows, maybe we'll have a four-tape set out of it because I think it's such an important subject. We'll actually open the lines and ask for calls when we're ready to go. But right now, of course, I want to reintroduce our special guest this evening. His name is Warren Smith. He's written a book called Reinventing Jesus Christ, The New Gospel. And I think it's so vitally important that you understand that there really has been a conscious effort to change both the message and the music of the modern-day Christian church. Now, we cover this in our four-tape set on the apostate church, for the Catholic Church, the wisdom of Malachi Martin, and, of course, for the music, why, of course, we have something called musical madness. And people, Christians don't understand that so subtly, so very slowly, they so gradually change the message of the Christian church. Most Christians had no idea that what had happened and the means of presentation of the message. One day, the minister comes in, and he's nicely dressed with his suit and coat and white shirt and neatly pressed trousers and signed shoes. And then after a while, one day he's there, and he doesn't have a coat on, but everything else is the same. He's got a white shirt and a tie, and of course, then one day, why, the tie is gone, and then one day the shirt is gone, and it's a sports shirt, and of course, everything changes, and he begins to get more into entertainment, and we begin showing video clips, and we want to entertain the audience, and we want to sort of walk around like Oprah Winfrey, and all of these things are laid out in this plan of the church growth movement, and then we change the message of the church. We don't talk about sin. Certainly we would never talk about anything in the way of punishment for sin, or the reason that Christ came to earth was to atone for our sins so that we wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell. That was what the salvation was all about. That's what the atonement was all about. And yet, of course, if you can do away with the sin, then and eternal punishment, why did Christ come to earth? That's the thing. We want to get people getting away from those old-fashioned ideas and the significance of the cross to understanding that we live in an enlightened society. And certainly, Warren, you've seen this happening, and really this is happening not just in one or two churches. This is happening in the majority of the evangelical churches and certainly in the Catholic Church as well, isn't it?
As somebody who came out of the New Age, which I did, I was really pretty horrified that no one seemed to really know much about it. As a new Christian, I really wasn't in a position. I mean, the Bible's real clear when you're just out of something, you're not suddenly to start speaking about it. But certainly informally we did. And most people just had no idea what was going on, and largely because their leaders didn't really have any idea. And what I was watching was all of these orchestrated movements, concerts of prayer and big movements and pastors being organized and herded around and sort of being put through these chutes. And I thought it was real interesting that there was really no warnings about discernment, about deception when it comes to the other alternative teachings about Christ, which is what I was involved in the New Age. Of course, the New Age teaches that we're all Christ. We all have the Christ consciousness. That blessings will flow when we all recognize our own divinity. Now, we haven't quite gotten there in the church, but we're hearing a lot of talk about blessings. We need to kind of have more formulaic prayer and to know that God is just waiting to bless us. And there's no talk about persecution. There's almost no talk about the very significant New Age, New Gospel, what they're now calling the New Spirituality Movement, that has really taken great steam since September 11th. On that day, and almost soon after, New Age leaders were just pouring out of almost every conceivable place. They were being interviewed by Tom Brokaw, being introduced, Marianne Williamson was introduced as a religious leader. Larry King referred to as her as a spiritual leader. Marianne Williamson is the chief proponent of A Course in Miracles, which purports to be from Jesus, which says the journey to the cross should be your last useless journey. Incredible blasphemy, incredible stuff going on, and in Jude it says we're to contend for our faith, and I've wondered for years, where are our Christian leaders? Why aren't they differentiating between the false Christianity and the new Christianity, New Age Christianity, and the traditional Christianity? It's just unbelievable that there's no real discernment going on. And I think the reason is because we're being led by some people somewhere behind the scenes that are very naive or know exactly what they're doing, and they're leading the church into an ambush. We're going to join up with the New Age, and a false Christ is going to make an appearance. And I don't know what your views are on this, Dr. Stan, but I remember on a radio show years ago, somebody called up and said, Warren, what's your view on the rapture? And I said, you know, my view is we better be prepared for the worst, because we can always back down from that. And I'm afraid that there's been a complacency in the church right now that we're just not going to be around for the hard times. And I'm already listening to people like Barbara Marx Hubbard as she gains ascendancy in the world. She's had a series on PBS recently called Closer to the Truth, and she's introduced as a diplomat. And this woman is an incredible New Age leader. She spoke at Texas A&M University on the one-year anniversary of September 11th and was given top billing in the evening to talk about the need that we need to all evolve to the next level so that we can avoid extinction. They're basically threatening the world with extinction unless we accept the teachings of the new gospel. Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations of God author who purports to have talked to God, has come up with some very incredible statements from his God about how Hitler really did no harm to anyone. He really helped them along their way because death is a wonderful thing. That dovetails with Barbara Marx Hubbard, who's on his board of directors, and her selection process. There is so much going on and so little being said. As a matter of fact, I was driving back from work yesterday, and I heard Breakpoint with Chuck Colson, and he was talking about some unfair studies that had been done on recidivism in prisons, and he had been making some good points. Then at the end of the show, he talked about the need for discernment, and I just wondered, please, Chuck, talk about the way that the New Age is going into politics. They have a New Age candidate, Dennis Kucinich, who is the Global Renaissance Alliance New Age Leadership Network's candidate. Hubbard, Walsh, all these people, Marianne Williamson, they are all being introduced as spiritual political leaders. They're getting very involved in spiritual activism. They're bringing all of their teachings into the political realm as a way of dealing with terrorism and a way of dealing with the problems of the world. And I just, especially someone like Chuck Colson, who is so involved with politics, you would hope that he would take a leading role. A quick example, Dr. Stan, is there was a book entitled From the Ashes, A Spiritual Response to the Attack on America. And it was a collection of articles of New Age leaders, including Starhawk, Neil Donald Walsh, James Redfield, Celestine Prophecy author, and others, along with Rick Warren, P.D. Jakes, Chuck Colson, Billy Graham, and others. And in that book, Neil Donald Walsh basically challenged all of these men and all Christian leaders to accept the new gospel. He said that if the new gospel was delivered from every lectern and pulpit, this message that we are all one, if this was preached, it could change everything overnight. And he said, quote, I challenge every priest, every minister, every rabbi, and religious cleric to preach this. I challenge every political party spokesperson and the head of every national government to declare it. I thought, wow, what a tremendous opportunity for those men to respond and to contend for the faith and to draw the line between the two. I haven't heard a word from any of them. There's one pastor out in Iowa who wrote a very good response saying, no way, Neil Donald Walsh, am I going to accept your new gospel. I'm not going to compromise my faith. I'm not going to deny Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And that's what they want. In the new spirituality, they are saying that we have to come to new agreements and we cannot have a single Savior. Basically, Walsh's God said, the era of the single Savior is over. And if we persist in that, we're going to end up in the selection process, and we're going to end up, this quote from Neil Donald Walsh's God, he says, I tell you this, at the moment of your death, you will realize the greatest freedom, the greatest peace, the greatest joy, and the greatest love you have ever known. Shall we therefore punish Brer Fox for throwing Brer Rabbit into the briar patch?
Now, he's speaking, of course, that Hitler really did nothing wrong. That was how he sort of justifies Hitler, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And you know, the thing that's interesting, I don't watch much television, but there's sometimes you just have to watch certain shows. There's this show called The Weakest Link that's been a big thing on television. And the whole point of the program is that somebody is weak and they're a weak link and they need to be done away with. And that's the whole idea of this evolutionary idea that Hubbard and the New Gospel, New Age people are purporting, which is that all humanity needs to interconnect and recognize that it is one. And if one person doesn't do that, it weakens everyone. It's kind of like, remember on the Christmas tree lights in the old days where if one bulb didn't screw in right or if it wasn't valid, then none of your lights went on. That's what they're saying. For humanity to work, everybody has to be on the same page. Everybody has to recognize their own divinity. And the consequences are that if you do not do that, you're going to be so injurious to the rest of humanity that you need to be dealt a death hand. You have to be done away with. I would like to see if I can find, this is very important, these are some very important quotes, and I think I just want to read them right here. The recognition, this is A Course in Miracles, the recognition of God is the recognition of yourself. There is no separation of God and his creation. Hubbard's Christ says, the fundamental regression is self-centeredness or the illusion that you are separate from God. I make war on self-centeredness. Then, also Hubbard's Christ, at the co-creative stage of evolution, one self-centered soul, that is, somebody who doesn't go along with their divinity program, one self-centered soul is like a lethal cancer cell in a body, deadly to itself and to the whole. And then Hubbard's Christ goes on, the surgeon dare leave no cancer in the body when he closes up the wound after a delicate operation. We dare leave no self-centeredness on earth after the selection process. And then finally, he says, the species known as self-centered humanity, spell that traditional Christianity and anyone else who holds to their way, will become extinct. The species known as whole-centered humanity will evolve. It's social Darwinism. You either get with the program or you are out. Oh, and that reminds me of that. The show Survivor has that same theme. Someone is cast out. They're sort of humiliated, and they have to leave immediately in that show. It's like, I'm sorry, it's time for you to go, is the statement that they make. Well, there's a lot of conditioning going on.
Well, of course, this is what the values clarification in our schools is. When they take a child who's 11, 12, 13 years old, and, you know, there's the lifeboat story, and there's a room for five people, and there are 10 people in lifeboat, and who are you going to kill? Who are you going to throw out of the lifeboat? You know, the aged priest or a young pregnant woman, the child genius or the elderly nun. I mean, which one are you going to throw out? Because you've got to make those decisions. What child should be making, even considering making those decisions? But what you're doing, of course, is devaluing life. And this is what they're teaching our children in the way of values clarification in our schools. Of course, the parents don't understand what they're doing, how they're really tampering with the souls of our children. And, of course, the entire theme of the new federal educational program, the Note the Child Left Behind program, is not reading, writing, and arithmetic. It is, of course, changing the attitudes, values, and beliefs of our children, and, of course, taking them away from a belief in God into this pantheistic religion. They are teaching religion in our schools today. It's the religion of environmentalism. And the fact that the parents don't know this shows how clever the people on the other side really are. And, of course, where is the church? I mean, why would any minister not get up from the pulpit and say, if you love your children, get them out of the government schools? I know we have one minister in Santa Cruz who has the courage to do that, and he says, get your children out of government schools. But I don't hear that from many ministers because, well, they really don't want to be controversial. You might offend a school teacher in the audience. But, I think the school teacher in the audience should realize that maybe they're trapped in the system to make a living. But, of course, the truth of the matter is that most school teachers are not sending their children to the public schools, at least not those teachers that love their children.
Yeah, I think one of the main pitfalls of the way that the whole church is set up is that it's people's living is dependent upon their being a minister, and they obviously have great pressure put on them. I made a or told a story in a previous show that we did about a man that I met who used to be a pastor in Chico, California, and he dared to preach the truth, and they got rid of him, and he was working in a factory when I met him running a Bible study. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who have been rousted out of the organized church because they didn't play by the rules. They didn't say what they were supposed to say. There's sort of an area that you don't go into. And I think when people's living is dependent upon that, I think probably most pastors like to believe that they wouldn't compromise, but we see it all over the place. I saw a Baptist preacher that I really respected who was, you know, very traditional. I saw him capitulate to this whole, you know, seeker-friendly movement, and just, it was really sad. I mean, it was sad to watch him compromise the way that he did. And he didn't even realize it. He thought he was kind of like in the happening thing. This is what's happening, because all of his materials that were sent to him, all of the church leadership was indicating. You know, the thing that got me, Dr. Stan, out of the New Age was Johanna Michelson's very brave book, which talked about the reality of spirits, demonic spirits, and the victory on the cross of Calvary. She talked about the reality of persecution. She said it's not easy being a Christian, and it's not. You read Corrie ten Boom. You read any of, I mean, there's so much. You just don't hear about persecution. And you know darn well with the stuff that you're doing, you feel the heat. You feel the heat. I know you do. Any of us that are speaking out about this stuff take a lot of heat. And I think it's just something that isn't talked about in the church. They don't want to scare people. They want to make sure that they get their Starbucks coffee down and they don't choke on it. Because if they hear some of the reality of carrying the cross, bearing, you know, the brand marks of Jesus, it's like it makes it a little different story. And they're trying to make it more like blessing friendly. And we're all going to end up in this wonderful place together as God pulls his kingdom together and comes and just tells everyone how wonderful they are. It's just not that way.
Yeah, I think it's really so interesting, the response to Mel Gibson's new movie, The Passion. And I've seen some clips from it. I will tell you, it's pretty brutal. And of course, but it was intended to be brutal. It was to show the horror of the crucifixion that Christ went through for our sin. And, of course, I think the reason that this is being hit so hard is because it is the very essence of Christianity. First of all, of course, the crucifixion itself, and I really don't know if it gets into the resurrection, but it is to show really what Christ went through to pay for the sins of mankind. Apparently, it's one of the most powerful movies ever made. And even though the movie, very few people have seen it, why, of course, many religious leaders are condemning this terrible, terrible, terrible movie. And yet, of course, I think maybe Mel Gibson has really done something very important, because, of course, we may all face something very, very similar before this is over.
Well, certainly Jesus indicates in Scripture that there will come a day when, in the name of God, people will think they're doing humanity and God a service by killing Christians. And it's interesting, because you look at the selection process and you look at Walsh's God's talk about Hitler, and you see that right in front of your own eyes right now, that possibility. Then you see Hubbard on PBS. You've seen Wayne Dyer, who's also in the Global Renaissance Alliance, recommending A Course in Miracles on public broadcasting television, and then that book, which recommends The Course in Miracles, being used as a premium to join PBS, you start to realize these guys are really, there's power in high places, and these people are really getting a hold of the microphone. As a matter of fact, you may remember this quote from Hubbard's Christ. He said, "When you are able to tell your vision on television, your real work will have begun." I think Oprah Winfrey really started this thing off with Marianne Williamson in 1992. She had Gary Zukav as a regular guest over and over and over again. And right after September 11th, twice he was on the show, talking about how people should now question their beliefs. They should try to figure out, you know, maybe the beliefs that they had don't serve them. She's had all of these people on her show, not as guests. It used to be in the old days, they would have Gary Zukav on one stool and maybe like Warren Smith or someone else who came out of the New Age on another stool, and there would be some kind of discussion. Now it's Marianne Williamson and Oprah Winfrey on two stools in front of the audience, with Oprah saying, "Marianne's book about The Course in Miracles is one of the best books I ever read, and I bought 1,000 copies, and I'm going to hand one out to everyone in the audience." And after the show, everybody in America runs out, and not everybody, but obviously a lot of people ran out and put her book number one on the New York Times bestseller list. But this stuff is just going on, and people are just missing the seriousness. This is not Shirley MacLaine running down the beach. This is not crystals and Grateful Dead t-shirts. This is very sobering stuff. They are coming right at the Christian faith. Neil Donald Walsh is challenging all of those men, from Billy Graham to Chuck Colson to Rick Warren, all the men in that book, to accept the new gospel. And there is this big, strange silence in Christendom. And the only thing you conclude is that these men are either ignorant or they have another agenda.
Well, I fear that some of them have another agenda. I feel that the forces of darkness have infiltrated the conservative Christian movement. And, of course, the average Christian is so gullible. You know, if all these other Christians are going along with it, they're not going to stand up and rock the boat. It's sort of like the story of the king that didn't have any clothes on, and only one little boy had the courage to stand up and say, why, the king's as naked as the day he was born. But, of course, everybody else went along with it because nobody wanted to speak up. And this is the problem we have today. I believe there's tremendous cowardness in the church. I believe the ministers are simply going along because they're afraid of the board of deacons. And the board of deacons, many of them are going along because they want more money so they can have bigger churches and pay their bills. But I also believe, as you do, that the forces of evil have infiltrated the Christian church. For what better way to destroy the church than from within? We've certainly seen this within the Catholic Church. Anybody who doesn't believe there was an organized effort to put homosexuals and pedophiles into the priesthood and then cover for them and protect them has to be incredibly naive. And, of course, this has just destroyed the very foundation and trust of so many Catholics, and not simply in the structure of the church, because I don't agree with the structure of the church, but in the message of Christianity itself, which they equate with the structure of the church. And that, of course, is the frightening thing, because, you know, when they become disillusioned with the church, they become disillusioned with the Christian story and belief in our Savior. And, of course, you know, it would be one thing if they were going to become Protestants, but a lot of them will just lose their faith altogether, as they have in Europe. And, of course, the same thing is happening, I believe, in the Protestant church. And maybe it really doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not if you've, of course, lost the entire sight of what Christianity is about, and that the church is some place where you go to feel good about yourself. I think when you leave the service, you ought to feel convicted. You shouldn't feel smug and comfortable there's nothing to worry about. Now you can go out and sin all the rest of the week. And the reason we have so much sin today and so much corruption in the church is that there is no longer a fear of God.
That's right. And actually, that's what the New Age talks about, how we have to get rid of fear. There's only love. There is no fear. And they eliminate the fear of God. And the fear of God is a very comprehensive concept, and it means that we revere Him, that we know that He is the one that created us, and He is the one that we look to for our life. Jesus Christ is our life. That is eternal life. Our life is in Christ, Jesus Christ, not the Christ, not Maitreya the Christ, or the God, or the Christ of the Course of Miracles. There's a tremendous quote, if people, you know, have New Age friends that are coming at them with some of the teachings, in Ezekiel 28:1-3, it says, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyres, Thus saith the Lord God, Because thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god in the midst of the sons, yet thou art a man and not God, that thou hast set thy heart as the heart of God." I sort of stumbled over that because I just scribbled it on my thing. But basically, it says that man is not God. And that is a very clear-cut refutation of this idea that man is divine and that we've missed that. The New Age basically says that all of our problems, everything in the world, terrorism, hatred, all the things that are going wrong are because we don't realize that we're divine. We don't realize that we're God. And that the ones that are doing this are the ones that have religions that insist that their way is the only way. They call it exclusivist religions, intolerant religions. Well, you know what? God is incredibly inclusive. His gospel is open to anyone who would accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. That is about as inclusive as it gets. But they try to purport Him to be this mean-spirited guy who is just not loving at all. And Neil Donald Walsh has been going around the bookstores openly mocking God. And it's just amazing to me. The church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation was commended for calling out false apostles, for calling evil out, recognizing it. other churches in Revelation are referred to as synagogues of Satan. We just haven't done a very good job. We don't want to alienate anybody. We don't want to offend anybody. Well, you know, Jesus went around basically saying it like it was. I mean, here he is with Peter saying that he's the Christ and Jesus commending him for that. And just a few paragraphs later, when Peter refutes and rebukes Jesus, when Jesus says he's going to die and go to the cross, Jesus turns to him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." I mean, it's like not Peter. Peter's not Satan. But the spirit that was rolling through him was not from God. And Jesus was very quick to see that. And he called a spade a spade. And we're not doing that these days. And, you know, I mean, I'm glad there are programs like yours where people can still hear the truth and understand that there are tremendously deep diabolical schemes running through the New Age and through the church, and that we really need to keep our eyes peeled on what's going on. We need to keep a real sharp watch. We need more watchmen. We need people that are pointing out what's going on, not just this talk about how you can feel better, be psychologically fit, and get blessings for you and your family. I think blessings flow when you do the will of God, and I don't think we're to go around looking for blessings. God, that's up to him. If he wants to bless us for something, fine. But persecution is also part of the faith. If something bad is going on in your life, that doesn't necessarily mean you're doing something wrong. It may mean you're doing something right.
Well, I often say that if you're not getting attacked, if you're not coming into persecution, then obviously you're not doing much of anything. Because if you stand up against the forces of evil today, you're going to come into opposition. There's no question at all about it. And if you're not being attacked, then, of course, you're not being effective. So, you know, as long as God gives us a microphone and the opportunity to continue doing what we're doing, we will continue preaching the truth. Now, the tragedy is, here I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I'm not a theological scholar. I'm not a theologian at all. All I know is what I've learned in Sunday school and from reading the scriptures and when I have time reading the Bible today. But, of course, this is what our ministers should be doing, and even some of our best ministers who obviously know what's going on. They'll talk about patriotism and all these things, but they really won't address the spiritual battle, the demonic forces that are not imaginary. They're real, they're alive, they're working, and they're working at the highest levels of our government. This is the frightening thing. And, of course, everything that's going on today is aimed at creating a world government. And we send our boys over to fight and bleed and suffer and die in foreign lands. And, you know, we're not interested in helping the people there. If we are, we're doing an incredibly, incredibly poor job. I mean, how could you do as poor a job as we've done in Iraq today unintentionally? No, we're not trying to solve the problems, get the electricity and the water and a stable society. It's not even safe to go out walking on the streets of Iraq. It certainly isn't of Baghdad, not even safe to be driving the streets, or you may get shot at a blockade. But, of course, how else can we justify leaving our troops permanently stationed in the Middle East as part of this movement of creating this new world order, which is what this is really all about? And the average American just can't believe that. They cannot. They would rather accept that the people in our military are totally inept and stupid and incompetent rather than think that what's going on is exactly what was supposed to go on.
And what's going on will do nothing but fuel the New Age peace movement. I mean, it'll just be a rallying cry for changing, getting their brand of peace onto the world scene. It's like Vietnam. It just kind of like drip, drip, drip.
Until eventually, of course, the entire population turned against Vietnam. And, of course, the same thing, this new presidential candidate, this new wager who's running for the president, Kasich, what is his
Dennis,
name?
Dennis Kucinich, congressman from Ohio.
David, but, of course, you know, right now there are an awful lot of people who are against the war. And who is up there, you know, opposing the war? Well, maybe Dean is going to oppose it, but, you know, we're going to follow, or at least as time goes by, more and more people are going to follow the person who opposes the war. And we're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Warren Smith. We're basically talking about the reinventing Jesus Christ, the new gospel. And, of course, you know, of course, when somebody says what you believe in, you believe very strongly, you believe the war was wrong and we shouldn't be in it. And so you'll tend to agree with them on that. And then, of course, you'll tend to agree with them on many of the other things they talk about. And so much of what they talk about really sounds so good. I mean, we're concerned about education. We want to help people. All of these things that the New Agers would talk about. But, of course, most people do not understand that these people have an agenda. John Vasconcelos, who's, of course, been up in the legislature in Sacramento here in California for so many years, is a dedicated New Ager. And yet, of course, his impact on our educational system, his impact on the laws of this state, destroying the morality of this state, has been phenomenal. One of the senior legislators there, I don't know if he's still there, but he was a couple of years ago. But Vasconcelos is one of these radical New Age occultic legislators, and they are within every level of our society today. I mean, you can read about Vasconcelos in that wonderful book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, written by Marilyn Ferguson, which gets into the background of what she calls the Aquarian Conspiracy. And of course, it is this network of New Age organizations all across America today. And she even mentions a man named Zbigniew Brzezinski, the man who created the Trilateral Commission for David Rockefeller, as being in sympathy with their views. I thought that was very insightful on her part. So why don't you sort of pick up them there for a minute?
Well, I think what you're basically saying is that this whole Aquarian conspiracy, Marilyn Ferguson called it an open conspiracy. Everything that she wrote about back in, I think, 1980, that book came out, it's all happening. And they said it would happen, and it is happening. And what people have to understand is that the language that these people use have different meanings than what we would necessarily attribute to it. Some of the meanings seem to be Christian, but they're actually totally anti-Christian. And a lot of the politicians, I've read some of Kucinich's speeches, and they have all of the, I mean, Barbara Marx Hubbard, in a recent talk, said that she was on the phone, and she said that she told Dennis Kucinich about the peace room. I don't know if, do you remember she talked about a peace room that she wanted to put in the White House? I don't know if it was in the Book of Co-Creation, but she certainly talked about it in her other writings. She wants to have a peace room in the White House. And she said that Kucinich told her, Barbara, not only will we inaugurate it, we'll build it right next to the Oval Office. I mean, these people, these politicians are talking to Hubbard. Neil Donald Walsh had a two-hour interview with Oprah Winfrey that he talked about openly. And he said that the material was too potent. Oprah said she really liked it. She liked his book. She thought he was great. But that people weren't ready for the information and that it would scare people. So they're calculating what we can take, what we can't take. It's a planned agenda. And yes, politicians are involved. This Global Renaissance Alliance that's made up of unified New Age leadership, they're now calling themselves spiritual activists. They're moving into politics. They want a president. They want to have a president in office, and they are actually, if you can believe it, Dr. Stan, they're actually suggesting Oprah Winfrey as a possible candidate for president. And before anyone laughs too loudly, it's not impossible. Look at what's going on in politics. You know, you look at different state of Minnesota.
You're talking about Arnold?
Yeah, Arnold, and you talk about, you know, the state of Minnesota, and it's Oprah has a tremendous following. You know, what a constituency. You know, Black Americans, people that have been abused, people who are not only liberal, but just, you know, spiritually moving towards the New Age. She has a tremendous, tremendous possible reservoir to pull upon. And Barbara Marx Hubbard, in the book Imagine, that Marianne Williamson collected of all these essays, Barbara Marx Hubbard, in her article, talked about a woman president in not this next election, but the one after that. And it was unbelievable, Dr. Stan. The woman that she described was none other than Barbara Marx Hubbard. Everything, it was the same. She has just got to be one of the most prideful people and the most confident people, and she is absolutely convinced that her social Darwinism is going to take everyone to the next level. And if you think of a false Christ coming onto the world scene, if a false Christ appears, he will imitate the return of Jesus Christ, and what will come with him? Judgment. through the selection process.
But I think, of course, there are going to be some terrible catastrophes that are going to befall America, and the people then are going to be looking for leadership to, you know, to get things back to the good old days, to give us security again.
Peace and safety.
And yeah. They call peace and safety. Why? It's cry for peace and safety.
And then destruction.
Right.
It's right out of the Bible, and it warns about Jesus. The thing that's amazing, the thing that really impressed me as a person coming out of the New Age, was how the Bible described everything I had been involved in. Nothing else described it. It was like the morning newspaper. It was unbelievable to read Jesus' words. They just applied right to today. And he talked about there will be signs and wonders. He talked about the leaders of his time, that, you know, they were an evil and adulterous generation because they could tell the weather, but they couldn't tell the signs of the times. Is that applicable today or what?
Well, sometimes, you know, as we look around and we try to tell people, and we have a dedicated listening audience, I wish it was 100 times the size that it is, but at least our listening audience can begin to understand what's going on. Well, let's go to Michael, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Is that Michael or Mike?
Michael.
Michael, okay. Michael, did you have a question or comment?
Yes. Well, you spoke of being afraid to offend somebody with the truth. And in my belief, and according to Scripture, that makes us responsible for a person's spiritual demise. And we know there are many false Christs. So essentially, if we let somebody believe a false religion, that makes us responsible. So when Constantine co-opted the Christian faith to front for Babylonian paganism, and it's known as Roman Catholicism, if we don't tell those people about the satanic implications of that religion, aren't we responsible?
Well, of course, you have to remember that the Roman Catholic Church kept Christianity alive until the time of Martin Luther.
No, it kept paganism alive.
No, it kept the Christian faith alive. And of course, you can say that. Let me finish, and then you can have your say. I believe, of course, that Augustine, who is the basis of, lived in the 4th century, you know, the basis of so much of modern-day, even Calvinism and Christianity. What religion did he belong to? St. Augustine. What
Pardon
was his
me?
Religion?
St. Augustine?
St. Augustine. What church did he belong to?
The Catholic Church,
I believe. That's right. He belonged to the Catholic Church. What about Sir Thomas Aquinas?
Oh, there were a few good men.
Oh, okay, fine, there were. Now, look, I don't argue the Catholic faith. I disagree with Mariology, but I will not condemn every Catholic because at least they believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. Yes, they got a lot of crazy ideas, but I'm not going to use my platform as my message. I simply condemn Catholicism. I will tell them I think that they're wrong, but I don't want to destroy their faith in Christianity. And that's, of course, what a lot of Protestants will tend to do. They condemn all Catholics, and then they drive them away. I want them to listen, and I hope, of course, they'll learn the truth as they listen.
But don't we condemn Catholic people by not condemning Catholicism?
Yes, you condemn the Catholic Church. You can condemn the Church, but don't condemn Catholic people. But that's what you're doing, you see.
No, you're wrong.
I believe that when you're condemning the Catholic religion, you're condemning Catholic people.
No, not at all.
You can condemn the hierarchy. You can talk about how it's been misused, but there have been a lot of wonderful, wonderful Catholic people down through the centuries.
Oh, I agree with that. I would like to hear your guest. Maybe he could be the referee for us here, because I believe that by not showing people the satanic roots of Catholicism, we're condemning them to hell by not telling them, aren't we?
All right. What is your view on that?
Well, I think I'd probably respond by saying that at least the way I would do it is, for instance, Wayne Peterson, who is this Latter-day prophet from Maitreya, talked about when he was a young child, he had a visitation from Mary. And Mary told him that he would see the Christ one day, and he's convinced that Maitreya is that Christ. I would approach people on the clear points, like what you mentioned, Dr. Stan, Mariology, or things that I noticed in the New Age when the communion wafer is regarded as Jesus himself. I would hit those points at least to start with and to create some discussion. I think that it's very difficult. You know, I've sort of, in the early days with people that were in the New Age, you know, I would start off by just sort of making blanket statements, and they just don't work. You have to get in there and talk about the teaching. So what I would suggest is yes, I think we have a responsibility, especially with friends and where we're led, to confront them in what is clearly wrong in what they're believing. And then if that ends up, you know, dismantling, you know, their bigger, you know, sort of allegiance to, say, the Catholic faith, then so be it. But I would start with where you know that they're wrong, rather than, because most people I know, whenever I would say, you know, the New Age is the devil or is deceptive or whatever, it's just not a good way to start a conversation. I'm sure you wouldn't do that. But I think the answer is yes, we have a responsibility to respond to anybody that's in error, but we have to do it in love, and we have to do it in a way that's led by the Lord and where they would hear what we have to say. I'm not, you know, real impressed with some of the... I remember, for instance, when we were dealing with evil, when I was, you know, I in a previous program mentioned that, you know, my wife and I had to deal with the presence of evil, and I called the local Catholic church in Oroville, California, and I asked to speak to a priest. And I said, you know, we're dealing with evil, and we're dealing with Satan. And the priest said, no, there's no such thing as Satan. That's just psychology. Well, you know, I mean, that was his Matthew Fox brand of, you know, of the faith. And you've got extremes in Catholicism, but I do believe that there's some inherent problems with Catholicism, and those problems should be approached, but in a very loving and kind way.
Absolutely, and I agree with you totally. You see, the thing, Michael, the trouble is, if I was going to spend all my time criticizing the Catholics, then I ought to spend a lot of time criticizing the Protestants, because the satanic forces have infiltrated the Protestant religion as well. I'd far rather address the satanic movement as such and simply point out that I disagree with many of the teachings of the Catholic Church, but I do not condemn Catholics.
Well, I'm sure if you listen to the tape from tonight, later on, you'll see that you'll hear that no words came out of my mouth to condemn Catholic people. I just finished a book by Dave Hunt called The Woman Who Rides the Beast, and it's very in-depth on the Catholic Church, and I agree that Protestantism, evangelicalism has been infiltrated and taken over by the same satanic forces. But I'm talking about from the get-go with Catholicism is, you know, just too much Babylonianism. I mean, so many things are anathema. Even proselyzing a Catholic is anathema. You know, the Pope has ruled that I will go to hell.
I really don't want to get into a long discussion, and we want to call some other evening when we're talking about Catholicism, but we're really talking about the New Age. And I would simply point out, I think David Hunt is brilliant. He of course, despises Calvinists. If you've read his book on Calvinism, he's very opinionated. I tend to agree with many of the things he writes, but sometimes I think that we can tear Christianity apart by airing these things in public.
Well,
wait a minute. We're really talking about the New Age movement tonight.
Well, the New Age
movement is not. We're not talking about Catholicism,
right?
But if you'd like to call
it's
some other
Babylonianism,
when we're talking
it?
About Catholicism, well, I'd really be very glad to talk to you about it. But that's not our subject tonight, and I really don't want to get off on that. Okay?
Well, New Age is Babylonianism in a word, isn't it?
No, the New Age basically is an entirely new approach to what's going on, and the New Age is not Catholicism, no matter how you want to twist it, I'm afraid.
No, I didn't say...
Anyway, let's get back to our subject. Warren?
Yeah, I think that what's important is to be able to see not just the roots of what's going on in the history, because I think I mentioned previous that we go into Christian bookstores and we really can find very little on what's happening now. You're not going to see much on Neil Donald Walsh or any of these other things that are happening right in front of our eyes. And I think that we can get a little bit lost in just talking about, I mean, Alice Bailey certainly talks a lot about the things that are going on today, but we don't want to just talk about Alice Bailey. We want to talk about how these teachers today are implementing the teachings of Alice Bailey and how it's playing out in our world. I think that this peace plan that Neil Donald Walsh has proposed, he says that his God has proposed the 5 steps to peace. I think it's important to just make note of a couple things that his God has told him. Quote, his God says, look at your world. The last vestiges of your way of life disappeared on September 11th, 2001. Nobody can be safe and secure anymore if you are using human standards of what that is. The challenge now is not to keep from losing your safety and security, but to get it back. You can seek to accomplish this at the physical level by using bombs and tanks and soldiers and economic or political might. Or you can choose to accomplish this at the spiritual level by changing beliefs. The whole peace plan that the New Age is putting forward and they're going to put into a political platform, Denis Kucinich has actually introduced into legislation a bill that proposes a peace department in the U.S. government that would be cabinet level and would reach into every aspect of our life, including child abuse, including just about everything that has to do with human behavior, conflict resolution, all in the name of peace. And it's so interesting that in Scripture it says that, you know, they will say peace and safety. You have to understand when these people talk peace, they're talking peace founded on the platform of us recognizing our own divinity. Walsh is God, and when I say Walsh is God, he speaks for the Christ of A Course in Miracles, for Alice Bailey, for Maitreya. They're all saying the same thing. We have to change our beliefs. Walsh is God also says, organized religion is going to have to vastly expand and deepen its understandings of life and God before it can tackle today's problems, much less tomorrow's. I think that the false Christ that's going to arrive on the world scene is going to have some miraculous solutions to some of the world's problems. I think there's going to be some incredible programs that are going to really benefit humanity. But what's going to happen is that Jesus Christ is going to be absolutely left in the dust, and those who follow him will be subject to the selection process. Listen to this, Dr. Stan. Neil Donald Walsh's God says about Robert Schuller, Reverend Schuller was profoundly astute in his observations and incredibly courageous in making them public. I hope he's proud of himself. I suggest that such an international, universal, transcreedal, transcultural, transracial standard for theology is the statement we are all one. Ours is not a better way. Ours is merely another way. This can be the gospel of a new spirituality. Neil Donald Walsh said this about Robert Schuller. This extraordinary minister also declared, and then he goes on to talk about Schuller and to laud the way that Schuller leaves his possibility thinking open to new beliefs. They're using people like Schuller as kind of conduits to kind of merge this stuff together down the line. Gorbachev has been identified by Wayne Peterson as one who has said that he's a Christian and one who says that Maitreya is his Christ. He also says the same thing about Nelson Mandela. There are some heavy hitters who are lining up on the side of the New Age Christ, and some of them are even saying that it's Maitreya. Wayne Peterson says that a number of government leaders have actually, I'll read what Wayne Peterson says. He says, what I appreciate about this story, and that's about Gorbachev, is the sure knowledge that the masters have already undertaken the task of offering important world leaders a role in the coming global changes and of preparing them for the Day of Declaration. The Day of Declaration is when the Christ steps forward from wherever he's at in the world and declares himself to be present and available to humanity. Peterson says, these leaders, who are undoubtedly disciples of the masters, will be working to promote the goals of the spiritual hierarchy. So I just found it so interesting that Wayne Peterson appeared on this television show in Santa Barbara that had Barbara Marx Hubbard on the board of directors. Clearly, once again, her Christ is not incompatible with Peterson and Maitreya, or he wouldn't be on the show. There's something there that's melding this thing together, and these people are very confident. Recently, Barbara Marx Hubbard said, we are now the mainstream of evolution. We are the radical center of what has been building and building and building, not only for the lifespan of humanity, but for the lifespan of the cosmos. It's that big. And she says, and the reason all the organized religions are wearing out now, they're wearing out, is because the humans have gained the powers of God. We're back to Genesis. We're back to the ultimate flaw that led to this whole problem in the first place. But Matthew Fox and other New Age leaders are saying it's original blessing, not original sin.
You know, I really think that we have to get to Schuller because he is the man behind Vic Warren and Heibel. And, of course, I can remember when Robert Schuller had Gorbachev speaking down at his church.
I saw that too, yeah.
And, of course, he's also had Billy Graham speaking down there. We have this on video, if anybody would like to see it, where Billy Graham says, you don't have to be a Christian to get to heaven. And, of course, you wonder, what in heaven's name is he talking about? I mean, here's the leading Christian in America today, the most widely respected Christian, and yet at Robert Schuller's church, he said, and anybody who questions this would be glad to get you a copy of the video, he said, you know, you do not have to be a Christian to go to heaven.
You know what's interesting, Dr. Stan, is that Neil Donald Walsh's God said that Hitler went to heaven. So that's pretty much the same thing. I mean, it's like you don't have to be, I mean, it's like that's the extreme of what Graham is saying, is that, you know, anybody, there's only heaven according to the New Age teachings, and it's getting watered down in the traditional Christian part, and so it's all kind of just getting muddled, it's all kind of being stirred together.
And, of course, and yet, of course, there's far more teaching about hell in the New Testament than there is about heaven. But, of course, we've completely changed the teaching of the church. And this is the thing that's really so frightening today, is the way, of course, that they have simply changed the message and the music of the Protestant and the Catholic Church, for that matter. And this is why we're in so much trouble today, because the average Christian has no idea what's happened. It's happened so subtly, so carefully, and the people that we admire seem to all be going along with it.
It's almost if they were to not go along with it, then they will fall out of favor, and then they'll have to find a new job because there won't be any place for them in the Christian marketplace. And that's what it is. It's become a Christian marketplace.
But even the members of the church, you know, when you go into a church, and of course you see these changes taking place, and you don't necessarily like the music, but you don't want to object because nobody else seems to object. And, of course, in fact, in my own church, one time the music just got so outlandish, and, you know, I could have seen it at, in Las Vegas, for that matter, you know, long hair, shirt open halfway down the chest, the swinging hips, the banjo, or the guitar, and the intense rhythm. And I wrote a letter to our board of deacons of my church and said, I disapprove of that music. I don't think this honors God. Every one of them agreed with me, because I had a friend of mine was on the Board of Elders, and nothing happened. And yep. Nobody really had the courage to take a stand.
Yeah, and I think that kind of thing is going on, you know, across America, where the hymns, as I came into the church, I was amazed that there were no hymns being sung. And the hymns are just full of teaching and doctrine and just all sorts of history and tradition. And there were songs like, you know, Lord, we welcome you into this place, sung over and over and over again. And I told this friend of mine who's sort of a heavy-duty Pentecostal preacher, I said, hey, Bob, I said, you know, those songs could be sung to the Antichrist. And he looked at me, he's like 6'5" and real heavy, and he kind of flipped his head around. He says, whoa, he says, you're right. I mean, a lot of those songs are so vague that you really don't even know who you're singing about, just Lord. Or even if they're not careful, if you're just referring to Christ without Jesus Christ being a part of it, that whole notion of Jesus kind of being lopped off and just the Christ remaining is going to be consistent with New Age stuff. So I think we're in a transition time, and the New Age says we're in a transition time, and I think it's time for some Christian leaders, if they are leaders, in fact, to stand up and to respond to this challenge to accept the new gospel, the new spirituality. They're repackaging it so that everybody will accept it, and it's time for people to stand up. It's time for Chuck Colson to get his political hat back on again and say, look, he says, I was in the political realm, and I see this New Age stuff sneaking in, and I'm not gonna let it happen. He's got Breakpoint every day. He could do some of these, you know, exposés on his show, but it isn't happening. And Bill McCartney, you know, he was a tremendous football coach. He knew how to defense the opposition, but he's not analyzing what's going on here. It's just kind of like, we love Jesus, yes we do, we love Jesus, how about you? It's more like a Friday night pep rally than serious preparation for a very formidable opponent.
Well, of course, you know, when you are a member of a church, why it's very, very difficult to leave that church, you know, because all your friends are there. And, of course, you leave the church, why you leave your friends behind. And
I think Rick Warren says that in his teachings. He actually uses that example that you just gave. If you can make sure that somebody's got seven friends in their church, they'll never leave. They use that in their book.
And so they really know how to manipulate the people. And this should not be what Christianity is all about. It shouldn't be about manipulating people. It ought to be about bringing them closer to Jesus Christ. But these people have very cleverly worked out this whole sales arrangement. They know exactly what they're doing, and you read what they're telling you. They're planning on how they're going to manipulate you to go along with the new agenda, the new religion that is going to be so successful and is going to impact on the world. But not, of course, the way I believe Jesus Christ would like it to impact upon the world.
But amazingly, Jesus told us all these things would happen. And he told us that when they did, you know, not to be fearful, and just to know that he told us ahead of time so that we can stand fast. Standing means not capitulating, not going over the waterfall. Standing is not an easy thing to do if you're standing in the middle of a raging river. And a lot of the so-called Christian teachings these days are talking about jumping into the river. And that's exactly what Rajneesh and other gurus told me to do when I was in the New Age. Just jump in the river. Just go with the flow. And that's not at all what Jesus says. He's very clear. His teachings are clear. And thank God they're all right there. That's what we can depend upon, are his teachings in the Bible.
As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days when, of course, Christ will come again. And, of course, as it was in the days of Noah, there was a totally corrupt and evil society. And I think that's exactly what we see going on today. And, of course, there'll be marriage and giving in marriage, and there'll be buying and selling. But, of course, it will be an evil society. Does anybody question that America, which was once the bulwark of Christendom, you know, the city, this idea, the city on the hill, the lighthouse, the hope of all mankind, that we've turned our back on God as a nation?
And they're calling it the new gospel, and you look at Galatians 1:6-7, and it says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's exactly what's going on, this new gospel, this new spirituality, this repackaging of the new age. They're smart enough not to use that term anymore. They're repackaging it, they're moving into politics, and they have people like Dennis Kucinich fronting their agenda.
Well, would you like to get your website out there?
Sure. It's a very simple website. I have my book online for people that want to read it. And it's reinventingjesuschrist.com. And then you can get a bound copy of the book by calling Dr. Stan's 800 number.
And that's 800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Warren, it's been a fascinating 3 hours we spent with you today.
It's been a pleasure. I appreciate your allowing me to present this material. I spent a lot of time researching it, and it's very hard to convey all of it in radio interview, but it's all there in the book.
Well, you've done a great job. Thank you so much. And we recommend the book if you'd like to know more about it. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-544-8927. Do not, as somebody did today, call 1-800-HIV-WAR. That is not the sort of website you want to. It's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. So anyway, God bless you. Thanks so very much for being with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and I do hope that you have enjoyed the program this evening, and, of course, that you have learned something from it. And, of course, we don't like to get off on side issues. When we're talking about one issue, I'd appreciate if the guests would focus on that one issue rather than bringing up their problems or some specific thing that they have. You know, I certainly, one time, my minister wanted to have a debate with David Hunt on Calvinism on our program. I said, no. I don't think this is going to strengthen the church at all by debating Calvinism, you know, anything like any more than debating the Catholic faith and Protestant faith. I think that we better stand together, or we're going to, of course, hang separately. There's an effort to destroy all of Christendom. They're doing a great job. So until Monday, when we'll be back with you, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.